I heard about this man who had been working all his life and had saved all his money. He was pretty frugal. In fact, he was more than frugal, he was tight-fisted with his money. And he loved it pretty much more than anything. And just before he died, he said to his wife, "Now listen, when I die, I want you to promise to take all my money and put it in the casket with me, because I earned it, and I'm taking it with me." So she promised with all her heart that when he died, she would put the money in the casket with him. Oh, one day he died. He was stretched out in the coffin, and his wife was sitting there in black with their best friend. And just as they finished the ceremony, the undertakers came to close the casket, and she said, "Wait a minute." And she had this shoebox. And she said, "Just hold on." And she took the shoebox, and she placed it in the coffin with him just before they locked it and rolled it away. And the best friend said, "I hope you weren't crazy enough to put all of his money in the casket with him." And she said, "Of course. I promised, and I intended to keep my promise. I'm a woman of my word." "You mean," said the friend, "you put every single cent of his money in the casket with him?" And she said, "I sure did. I took all of the money, and I put it in a box, and I took it to the bank, and I deposited it, and I wrote him a check." We spend a lot of time focused on the here and now. We gather and we amass our money and our stuff that serves us here and now. But what about what comes next? What are we gathering and amassing for the biggest stretch of our lives called eternity? Now, we talked a few weeks ago about a rope, and imagining that this rope goes on forever and ever 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 and ever. That red part, that's your life. From the moment you're born until the moment your fleshy body dies, that's that red part. But after that is eternity, and we focus so much on that red part. The man in the video that you just saw clearly was not going to relinquish what he felt could satisfy him. He had his mind set that he was going to quench his thirst with what he had. And then you notice he craved more and more. Didn't make sense. Why is it that we don't recognize that letting go of the stuff that is not life-giving can mean that we open our lives to the stuff that is? Over the past several weeks, we've explored what a life of simplicity means. And we know that God desires it, because adding simplicity to our lives means making room for that which is life-giving by eliminating that which is not life-giving. According to Scripture, there's only one thing that truly is life-giving. And when we connect ourselves to that source, to God, by prioritizing God in our lives, we're blessed with more than what we need. You've heard the phrase, "He who dies with the most toys wins." But we know that he who dies with the most toys still dies. And he who dies with the most toys has wasted opportunities to let go of those toys and fill themselves with real riches. Carlin's great, isn't he? Our culture has focused too much energy on amassing tangible treasure. bigger, better, faster. And even if we recognize this illness, we still fall into a culture that esteems those who have rather than those who don't. We live vicariously through them. It's just how we're ingrained. We secretly covet. We like our earthly treasures. They bring us comfort and joy. But you have to admit, they also bring us burden. And the thing is, we hand this down to our children. We don't mean to, but we do. We perpetuate desire for material possessions. When's the last time you heard a child say, "Oh, please, I don't want anything for Christmas. Just to be with my family is enough treasure for me." One of the areas of focus that we talked about is prioritizing. We prioritize what's important to us. Scripture tells us where your heart is, your treasure is also. What's important to us should be what gives us life. The two should be synonymous. Unfortunately, what's important to us often is not life-giving. We put our importance on things that moth and rust can take away. For instance, if we're asked to a meeting by our boss, an important meeting, and your boss says you need to be there, we would prioritize it on our calendar, right? We'd make certain that we planned around it, and when things came up, we would look and we would see that time and that date is set aside for that meeting, and we would schedule things around it. But where do we put worship? Where do we put that meeting with God? Where do we put our prayer time? We've talked about prioritizing our schedules to put God first, to drink from the source of life so that we can have life. We've talked about what it means to eliminate things that get in the way of what's important when it comes to material items. Less is actually more. And when we put these things together, we explore what is truly important in regards to how we spend our time and what we put into our life. And it's important to evaluate what we hang on to and what we need to let go of. Each year in the spring, after the ground isn't so muddy and I can get out into my yard, I take my wire rake and I start to pull back all of the stuff from last fall, and I'm always pleased to see the little hosta shoots that are coming up. They're hiding under there. And you know, once they start to see the sun, they really start to grow. And it's fun because every day it seems like they grow a little more, a couple inches almost every day in the spring. Now, if I didn't do this, if I didn't rake that stuff away, the buds could possibly rot and die underneath the heavy, wet accumulation of dead foliage. Likewise, we need to scrape away the stuff that is not alive so that the buds of potential can rise within us. But it's hard sometimes to recognize what is life-giving and what is not. Sometimes we're not very good discerners of those things. We like what we like. I've been slowly weeding through my mother's things that were important to her in her lifetime. What do I keep? What do I toss? as I pour through all of her treasures that are now in my basement and make it hard for me to get to my washer and dryer, there are several things I am not doing while I'm busy pouring through those things. I'm not exercising or out building relationships or enjoying nature or working on important messages for you. That's what I'm not doing while I'm pouring through her treasures and going through her Avon plates. Eliminating that which holds us back from building eternal treasures is like raking away the dead brush from the buds. If we don't eliminate these things, we simply thirst for more. I found this true for myself. I do suffer from a little bit of clutter buggedness. I have items that I've moved from place to place. Some boxes I haven't even opened for 3 moves. I don't know what's in them, but it's my stuff. I have to find space for these things, and I have to continually deal with them. Likewise, in my finances, I've certainly spent money on things that serve me temporarily. Any of you ever buy one of those exercise machines like the Abdoer, and it sits and it makes a wonderful clothes rack? See, and that's money that I could have used to make this world a better place. Money that could have been spent to further God's kingdom rather than on yet another thing. I've been with people. I've been with some of your loved ones who are standing in the doorway about to meet God. And beside them is a pile of things. The things are money and time spent here. And those things will stay here. The stuff that's waiting for them is stuff that's eternal. It's not the stuff they leave. Our choices here determine the pile that we're adding to there, or not adding to. There's a story that comes from the sinking of the Titanic. A frightened woman found her place in a lifeboat that was about to be launched, and it was about to be lowered into the raging Atlantic. And she suddenly thought of something she needed. So she asked permission to return to her cabin before they cast off. And she was granted 3 minutes. 3 minutes, or they would have to leave without her. And she ran across the deck that was already slanted at a dangerous angle, and she raced through the gambling room with all the money that had already sloshed to one side. And she came to her stateroom, and she swished through the ankle-deep water, and she pushed aside her diamond rings and her beautiful jewelry, and she reached to the shelf above her bed, and she grabbed 3 oranges. 3 small oranges. And she quickly found her way back to the lifeboat and got in. Now that seems incredible because 30 minutes earlier, she would not have chosen a couple of oranges or even the smallest diamond. But death had boarded the Titanic. One blast of its awful breath had transformed all values instantaneously. Priceless things had become worthless, and worthless things had become priceless. And in that moment, she preferred 3 small oranges to a box of diamonds. It dishonors God for the Christian to be in a state of anxiety about things that are not life-giving. The dead foliage that we fuss about, that we need to break away from the buds. We have to constantly assess what is life-giving and what is not. Jesus has called Christians, has called us to seek him first and release the rest. And in this way, we gain life. Amen.